Welcome, everyone, to the Perceptive Podcast here on Game Wisdom. I am Josh Beiser, the owner and lead writer. Join me this week, my special guest from Overkill Software, game director behind Payday the Heist and the recently released Payday 2, David Goldfarb.
I'm so sorry. I had nothing to do with Payday the Heist. I can't take it for that. But it's okay. It's all good.
Not a problem. So, David, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm recovering from... it's been real busy since the game's come out. We've been patching a lot, so it's kept us on our toes.
Yep, definitely. Now, I guess the first question, for people who aren't familiar with Overkill and the Payday series in general, could you tell us a little bit about the company and just a brief synopsis of what Payday and Payday 2 are?
Sure. Overkill was founded by two brothers, Bo and Ulf Anderson, who were also founders of Grin, guys made Bionic Commando and Ghost Recon, did the Ghost Recon PC version. And after kind of Grin went kind of south, I think they were ready to do something, you know, that wasn't as big and something that kind of went back to their roots, did more of what they wanted to do. So they grabbed a few guys, I think it was about 20 guys, to make Payday the Heist, which was this kind of like almost a garage hit first for PSN and then for PC. So it was this, you know, robbery game, cooperative robbery game, and it actually did extraordinarily well. And that kind of became the sort of the thing that we built Payday 2 off of. That I joined Payday, joined Overkill in, I guess it was September of last year. And that was when my involvement, started. And, yeah, I mean, I can speak to that more, but, you can, I guess, continue to poke and ask questions.
Now, one thing that was some pretty great news that we heard when Payday 2, I think it was like a week before it was released, was that you guys actually, through the pre-orders, made enough money to basically break even on the game. And that was actually one of the first times I've heard a game company manage to pull that off. How did that feel for you and the rest of the team, knowing that, you know, you were already in the black before the game was actually out for people?
Yeah, it was really awesome, actually, because, you know, before I'm used to, you know, I worked on Battlefield 3 and on Bad Company 2 and on Killzone 2, and those are all very expensive games. So the break even on games like that is, you know, is much, much higher. And so we have, you know, we're a modest studio in terms of the people. We have like 30 guys, 35 guys. And the budget was also modest. There's no shame in that. It's just what the reality, but like we, even though we knew the game, you know, was going to do well, I think we were sort of shocked and happy. Very, very happy when the pre-orders were so crazy and the game has been selling like nuts. So it's been pretty awesome.
Cool. Now, you said that you joined Overkill right around the time for Payday 2. When you joined, was Payday 2 already in development, or did it sort of start with your arrival?
I think they had been working on some stuff. A few mechanics had been kind of were underway. There was a loose plan when I got there. And then I think when Ulf and I kind of sat down, we wound up kind of doing an end around that plan. and then we wound up kind of going for something much bigger and more ambitious than I think originally it had been planned, and you know that had its own kind of, we had to pay the piper on that one down the line. I don't think any of us kind of knew how ambitious the plan was until, you know, the game was out the door and we looked back on it and we were like, Jesus Christ, how the fuck did we do that? But when I got there, I would say we kind of revisited and rewrote like the whole plan, and that was that was maybe, you know, there was good, there were good and there were bad things about that. I think the great majority of them were good, though.
Yeah, looking at the difference between Payday 1 and Payday 2, you can really see that Payday 2 really is almost an entirely different beast in terms of mechanics and just the overall design philosophy between the first game and the second.
Yeah.
Now, there's definitely a lot we can talk about. I guess the first big change from Payday 1 to Payday 2 would probably be the crying.net feature. And this is one that we've heard a lot of people, I guess you could say, debating about on the Steam forums. How did the crime.net feature evolve and become implemented in Payday 2?
Well, actually, I think that feature predated me.
Okay.
And that's not to like foist the blame or anything onto anyone. It's just that's how it was. But the specifics of how it took shape, I can assume responsibility for that. I think the idea was, you know, we didn't want people to just have, we wanted to kind of more of a fiction for people to be able to choose missions, and we wanted to be able to do the sort of thing that I guess I always liked, the kind of the sense that the universe was bigger than you, mm-hmm. and that there were possibilities out there that you hadn't seen. I think the problem, you know, that people are, there are several problems that people are encountering now, but one of them is that there's simply not enough. There isn't enough content to fuel that system currently, at least. And I think when we did it, we had more in mind. So, and as time will go on, I think it will work the way we intended. But definitely, it's something that I think we are very, we're intent on improving. And, you know, we have a couple things we're going to roll out very soon that will make it, I think, a much better experience for people. So we've been trying over, we've done like 10 patches or 9 patches now, and we'll continue to work on it. So it's definitely high on our list of things to improve.
Yeah, and it seems to fit into this mold of Payday 2 having more of a, I guess I would say, RPG-like design to it, between the weapon mods, customization, and the skill trees, which we'll talk about next.
Yeah.
Was this idea of having these kinds of RPG-like systems, did that come from you, or is that part of the original focus or the original thought process behind Payday 2?
That was, I'm a big RPG person, so that was the thing. Like, I did the skill trees. That was something I was really, you know, I love doing that stuff. I think, you know, Ulf and I both shared the desire to do something in that direction, and that's something that I definitely spent a lot of time pushing, was, like, make the trees distinct, make the roles distinct, make the skills work a certain way, have the, this is how the systems are going to be set up. And I spent a lot of time on that stuff. So I hate, it's weird. I think back on it and I'm like, yeah, I guess those are, that was a pretty crazy ambition to just, the skill system alone is like 144 skills and all these different things that are intersecting. And, you know, it was just a lot of work. It was fun. So, yeah.
Yep, the skill trees is definitely a major new component behind Payday 2. In the original Payday, the three trees with the fourth unlocked via DLC were pretty much static. You could eventually get everything with enough time spent in the game. But with what you guys have done with the second game, there's now a defined roles that you can see, whether it's the ghost doing the stealth aspects, mastermind, controlling civilians, or even just the enforcer getting the best armor and just being their own one-man army.
Yeah.
What was the, I guess, the overall design philosophy behind what you wanted to do with the four skill trees?
I wanted to make kind of four archetypes, and then build the mechanics and the passives and so forth around those archetypes. And that's kind of where I started. So I was like, okay, so in crime films, who do you want to, you know, who do you have? And that's what I came up with, was like, you've got the sneaky guy, who's the ghost, kind of fast moving guy. You've got the mastermind, who's De Niro in Heat. You've got the enforcer, who's Vinnie Jones in Lock, Stock. And you've got the guy who's like the drill guy, the specialist guy. And then those archetypes, I kind of went in both directions. So I started with the archetypes, but I also started from the game mechanics, and I tried to make, kind of go top down and bottom up. Up and meet in the middle. So the hard part, I think, I remember when I was working on the, like, when I was thinking about the ghost, I was like, what the fuck can we give him? And, you know, because what happened when we started to do the skill trees, it became really apparent, like, I wanted to do stealth anyway. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, you needed levers and mechanisms to make that stuff work. And so for a while, it was very much like, I don't know what we have. that actively you can do. Like I could do passives all day long with skills, but passives are just passives. So really the key things for skills are the actives, you know, like the gadget that you're throwing down. So coming up with the gadgets, and then when you don't have, you know, we didn't have that much stuff, so it was kind of like, how are we going to be clever to do the to add a function to this gadget? So you know, so those were that was interesting, all that stuff. But I don't even remember what the original question was. But oh yeah, but so basically, you know, when we're thinking about all the way the skills evolved was basically from the archetypes and working from the game mechanics and trying to make sure that those two things were you know, differentiated from one another so that they felt individual.
Now, it's interesting that you talk a little bit about the stealth or the ghost aspect, because that's actually where my next question is. I play the game majorly as a ghost as well. I know a lot of my friends like it. And we notice in terms of stealth gameplay that it's sort of, like as you said, it's definitely hard to get it right. We've seen with a few of the heists so far, let's see, Firestarter, Big Oil, and Framing Frame. Those three seem to have major stealth sections, which will radically determine how easy or hard the heist is. But then there are a lot of the heists like the bank, jewelry store, even mall crashers, where stealth seems more like taking the really, really long way around when you can just, you know, run in, smash everything, C4 it up, and, you know, 5 minutes later you're done. I guess in terms of how stealth is now, are you and Overkill planning on, I guess, enhancing or going back over the stealth or redefining it for future heists?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we're actually looking at, like as we speak. And I think we have a lot of work to do. Stealth is incredibly hard. I don't think any of us knew how hard it was because none of us had ever done it before. And we were like, sure, let's just add it to this enormous, crazy RPG, already complicated, cooperative, randomized. Well, how hard could it be? And then, you know, it's fucking difficult. So then we did that, and so now we're actually the good thing now is that we're getting to the point where we can kind of find the problems. I think maybe we nailed down one big one, but then there's other big, you know, there's the biggest thing with stealth is that when it's real world stealth, people have expectations of how things are going to work, and when they don't work that way, they seem broken, or when they're inconsistent, they seem broken. And you know, like bank robberies are a complicated thing, and adding stealth to that, you know, in the different phases and all that stuff, we have a lot of thinking to do to, I think, to clarify some of the things that are still, maybe they're inconsistent or maybe they could be better. So we are definitely examining all that stuff.
As a really funny story, the other night my friends and I were doing Overkill Firestarter, and we actually managed to pull off the bank section completely stealthy.
Oh, crap. That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, we were surprised, but then after it was all done, we didn't quite know what to do. We like set up the drill, we were just standing there going, yeah, I guess this is all right. Yeah, so what do you guys want to talk about? And then we got the vault open. It's like, do you want to pick all the deposit boxes? And someone's like, nah, let's just only pick one or two. But eventually, we just stand there picking every deposit box in the place.
Oh my God, you emptied the whole joint out. That's
Yeah.
awesome.
And it was like funny because we were at one point we were just like, you know what? Let's just shoot our guns. Let's try to get some police to show because we're bored. So someone just like went outside shooting cars and just shooting their gun in the air, and we're just sitting there, you know, picking our little deposit boxes, going da-da-da-da-da. And it went off without a hitch. And I guess that's sort of a good example of the push and pull between stealth. On one hand, it can be immensely rewarding to pull off a heist perfectly. On the other hand, the amount of work and build up to get to that point can be a bit frustrating, and I know a lot of people find that a little too much for a game that's about, you know, running around shooting cops with modified shotguns and M308s.
I you know, it's we knew kind of going in that we were doing something that was not for everyone, and I think stealth is a high skill, is like a it's like end game, it's like raiding for us. So the thing that we need to do, and we have said that kind of from the beginning, which is very different from a lot of people who are like, no, everybody can stealth all the time, you can just stealth it up. And it's like, no, we don't, since we don't explain a lot of stuff. And stealth is inherently right now, I think, is the hardest part of the game, depending on, you know, what kind of stealth you're actually doing. We have accepted the fact that it's it's difficult, and it's by design, it's difficult, so you shouldn't expect to do it. But then when you have a situation like you had where you succeeded and then you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, then we have to kind of, you know, there's stuff that we might want to do in the scenario to keep things lively, you know, more random events. So maybe even if you do pull it off, then something should happen. Or, you know, I don't know if you spent 20 minutes in the vault getting all the pause boxes. Some people really, really enjoy when that happens because it's so hard that the payoff is rewarding, but it's always a balance.
And speaking about rewarding, that's another area that we've seen some debates on the forums about. I know with the, I'm not sure it was the last patch or the one before that, when you guys decided to increase the chance of having escapes after each of the heists.
Yeah.
And that's also bring up the debate about whether it's better to reward someone for doing something right or to effectively, I guess, quote unquote, punish them for taking the easy way out. Now, I know with the original Payday, Overkill went more in terms of higher difficulty. They added in, you know, Overkill 1-4-5 difficulty. The layer heist definitely grew in complexity. Now, with Payday 2 and where you're going with in terms of your design and future content, are you looking at, I guess, making the game more on the harder end of the scale or trying to make it more, I guess, for everyone? So, like, the casual, the average, and, you know, the super hardcore guys.
No, it's going to be harder. In fact, the next patch, I hope, will have the bump to the other difficulties to make them more difficult, more lethal enemies, that sort of thing. Because I think now we've kind of looked at the way that people are playing and the types of comments that we're getting, and I think it's time to do that. And then when we release our, you know, some of our newer stuff, you know, we go the Overkill 1-4-5 route. I think that we will continue to focus on more intensity, not less.
Cool. Yeah. Now, going back to what you said a few minutes ago about how you guys are looking at stealth and going to add more changes and more improvements to it, will those changes, I guess, trickle down into the heists that are already in the game, or will that be seen more in future heists or DLC?
I think everything that we do from a bug perspective will be everywhere in the game. Things that we do, like I've been changing the, you know, the ghost tree recently, and I will be continuing to work on all the trees probably for quite some time. So those will just be getting rolled in. They're not going to be in DLC.
Okay.
Maybe some will. I don't even know. It depends. Yeah, I think it'll be a combination of different things. But the stealth improvements, I mean, if they're game wide, then they're game wide.
Now, speaking about the other trees, from a design standpoint, do you see them as being, I guess, feature complete at this point, or are you going to be adding any new things or changing things around like you did with the ghost tree with the last update?
No, I'm definitely changing stuff.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking at all the trees. I'm not going to say that we're, you know, I don't want to add more levels because there's a lot of things that would happen as a result of that, but I think... as far as, you know, looking at what people are using and some stuff is you know, much less appealing than other stuff, I think those things need to be reworked in the same way that, you know, WoW or Diablo 2 patched those. You know, they would go, well, these skills suck. Get some new ones. Or these talents suck. And they're, you know, I think for the most part, I'm pretty pleased with the design of the tree. I have the trees, I think. But that they're, I know now, like if I had it to do over, I would have done a couple more actives, you know, like items, deployables, because I think those, you can do a lot with those. Passives are passives. I definitely would like to do more with a few actives. So we'll see. I think, you know, we have a ton of awesome stuff kind of in the pipeline, and hopefully it'll be pretty soon when people get to see it.
Cool. Now, moving on and talking a little bit more about the heist design.
Mm-hmm.
I know with Payday 1, the heists were mostly linear with a few randomized elements. With
mm-hmm.
Payday 2, it seems like you guys definitely went the bigger and better route, having more variables and more things to keep in mind. Now, I guess, how did you approach Payday 2's heist design? Like, I guess, what was like the general thought process behind developing each one of the heists?
I mean, I... The Payday 1 levels were actually, those are huge levels. So in terms of space, and complexity, those are much, much bigger than anything that we do in Payday 2. The big difference for Payday 2 is that, now that we've made these sort of bite-sized levels that can be chained in multiple days, you have a lot more flexibility. And the thing that happens though with Payday 2 is that because we have all these skills and systems and things that intersect, it's like four times as much work. So the it's it kind of balances itself out. Anyway, I'm sorry to return to your question. How would I phrase this? Is the question how did we approach creating these, would you say?
Yeah, like what was the general thought process behind what you guys wanted to do for each of the heists?
Well, specifically, I mean, when we talked about it, I think one ambition was, okay, so we don't want to have to make an hour long, one gigantic map, because those things are taking an enormous amount of time. So one ambition was just, okay, so we're going to try to see what it's like to actually, will a jewelry store be fun? Like, that's where we started the whole game. We started with, will a jewelry store be fun? That was the entire kind of like, this is our proof of concept. And it was. And then we were like, okay, so then we can build all these other crazy things. So then, then I think the level designers, we had a kind of a plan of like let's do these types of things, these types of jobs. And then the, I mean, there was no, we weren't trying to tell a story. We were trying to find interesting contexts to do stuff in that would service all the mechanics that we had, and be fun. So that's kind of how we handled it. There wasn't a, and finding like tropes that we enjoy from like movies and TV, so the Breaking Bad stuff and the whatever else we could kind of find. And then some stuff we would just, we would make up.
Okay. Now, in terms of, I guess, future content or future improvements, I know we talked about a few minutes ago how you're going to be re-going over the skill trees, tweaking and adding or removing things that don't work. In terms of the heists that are in the game right now, will those heists see any redesigns or any new additions in the future, or will they be kept relatively the same from this point on?
Of the heists that are in the game now, I think there might be some minor tweaks to to a few of them, but I wouldn't commit to saying that. I would say that the majority of what I mean, the great majority of what we're going to do will be totally new. And then there will be, however, things that we do, like we're doing this thing that I tweeted not long ago, with these sort of two-stage safes that will really change a lot of the experience people have when they're doing heists, because the safes. Or, you get through the first thing and then you're like, crap, the second thing is I need a saw, or, and then you're more efficient if you have that, or it's an ECM jammer and you got to deal with that thing. It's like, I mean, it's an electronic safe, it's there, and, or it's a bunch of deposit boxes. That I think will be, there's stuff like that will add a lot of depth and, replayability to stuff that already exists. Yeah, kind of a bit of both, I guess.
Okay. Now, speaking about the multi-day heist, one, I guess, complaint that we've seen on the forums about is the fact that because it's all tied to the host of the game, if the host cancels, drops out, DCs, or whatever, the heist basically cuts out. And everyone, if you're on day three, is, left holding the bag. Are Overkill planning on, I guess, finding any workarounds or changing that kind of networking for the future?
Yeah, but I can't really
Okay.
comment on that right now.
Okay, not a
We just
problem.
know we're aware of the problem, and we're looking into solutions. That's about all I can say.
Okay. All right. Let's move on and talk a little bit about the other, I guess, RPG aspect of the game, and that's the mods, customization, masks, and so on. The big new feature in terms of progression would probably be the payday mode at the end of the heist, where you choose from one of three cards and that determines your reward.
Yeah.
How did you guys approach, I guess, defining how you want to reward the players for finishing a successful heist?
Well, when we talked about this originally, it was the kind of thing where you want to get stuff to make, because when I originally joined, it was very clear that there was no the money had no value, and you actually didn't give a shit about finishing the heist in those terms, in like I get something that I care about as a player. So that's kind of the direction that we went in, was how do we, okay, so what do people want? Well, they want weapons and they want masks, because those are tools of player expression. And so, weapons are tools of player efficiency and or expression, and they want experience points and that sort of thing. So those were kind of the directions that we looked at it from. And they had already been planning kind of weapon customization. And so that kind of went into the, hey, why don't we make this loot drop thing? Because that then at the end of the heist, you know, you get this payday. And so that's kind of how that evolved. And then I think it was Bo who had like the idea to actually do the card thing. I think we had, at one point, we wanted to do like Russian roulette. We had a bunch of weird ideas. Slot machine. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. But yeah, so it wound up, you know, we wound up kind of taking that form. But we always knew that there was going to be this kind of like payday at the end that gave you a reward.
Okay. Now, in terms of the actual rewards themselves, one question that my friends and I were talking about last night in terms of the weapon mod variables, what exactly does mobility affect? Because we weren't entirely sure of how that variable was affecting general gameplay.
It's a moving spread.
Okay. So when you're moving and you're shooting that kind of accuracy,
yep.
I guess? Okay.
I think there's a lot of unclarity in the, is that even a word? There's a lack of clarity in some of our, in some of those stats. And there's also, you know, there's some inconsistency in the way that they are applied. And then there's a lack of transparency in terms of how the display is. So we're looking at refactoring that and making it actually all numbers so people can just go, oh, so that's what that does. I think that's going to be a better solution for us.
Cool. Now, in terms of the weapon mods themselves, are Overkill planning on adding in more weapon mods through free patches, or will that be something that we see in paid DLC in the future?
I can't actually say. I have a feeling it's both, but I wouldn't commit to that because I actually don't know the answer.
All right, now about the masks, one question that I have to ask is, there's definitely a lot of cool masks in the game. One of my favorite, I think, would be the Horned Demon. I was just wondering, what is your favorite mask that we have in the game so far?
I think I like Cthulhu the best, and or the Dillinger Death mask, but I can't wear that thing because it creeps me out too much, so I would say it's probably Cthulhu, but... Then, like, some of the new stuff I think I'm definitely going to wear. Like, I don't know if you saw any of the stuff that I've been putting out there, but there's, like, a panda that I really like. And I like the panda. And then, like, there's just a bunch of cool shit coming down the pike. So, yeah, I don't even know anymore. I just know that we like making them, and it's always fun to see new masks. So.
Now, one question, this is one that I steal from my co-host. He's a huge Team Fortress fan. Whenever we have a guest on who has a game on Steam, he asks them if there's any plans for cross-game promotions, like TF2 hats. So, I have to ask you, does Overkill have any plans for having, you know, cross-game mask promotions in the future or anything along those sorts?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one. All right. I think I can't actually say. What I can say is that we're very, very friendly with Valve. But that's about all I'm going to say.
Cool. Before we move on, I have one other question regarding Valve and Overkill. I'm not sure if you would know this, but it's just something that I'm curious about. When Overkill made the No Mercy, I'm not sure what we consider like a promo or just bonus map for Left 4 Dead, and I mean the Left 4 Dead map in Payday, was that something that Overkill approached Valve with, or was that something Valve approached Overkill with?
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
Okay.
I expect it was probably something that happened in the conversation, like when those guys met each other at some event or something, and then it turned into something else. So I don't think it was a matter of us going to them and them going to us. I think it was probably more like a, hey, what about this? And you know, that's as far, that's what I would guess, but I can't even tell you if that's true. So I can be totally making it up.
All right, not a problem. Okay, so let's move on and talk a little bit about what's coming in the pipeline, hopefully, for Payday 2. Now, I guess the first big thing that was talked about is the reintroduction of the cloakers. For people who aren't familiar, in the first Payday, one of the Special Forces enemies was like a Splinter Cell, Sam Fisher, stealth guy who would basically sneak up and he would basically incapacitate you in one hit. So he was someone that... if you were alone or, you know, you're on one end of the map and everyone else is on the other end of the map, he could screw your whole plan up very badly. With Payday 2, I know in a, I think it was a news piece or a blog post, I think it was a week ago, you guys talked about the difficulty of implementing him into the new game. And I was wondering, how is it going with getting that character in, and I guess what design changes, if any, are you thinking about having for him in Payday 2?
I can't tell you how far along we are with him. Just that he's very high priority for us. So we will get him in, and hopefully he'll have the same functionality that he had in the first game, as far as making people's lives miserable. And then that's pretty much the ambition. We just weren't happy with where he was, so that's what we've been, that's what we're going to work on, is getting him to a place where we feel like he's scary enough and can turn him loose on the world.
Now, with upcoming DLC and future updates, is Overkill thinking about adding any new special forces to Payday 2, or will we just keep with the Bulldozer, Taser, and Shield, and of course the Cloaker eventually?
We can't say. But it is something that's on the radar. Like, I think, new enemies are always, always terrific. So, it's definitely like a high value thing that we will consider very strongly.
Okay. Now, the other aspect that was talked about is the safe house customization feature.
Mm.
I guess if you can talk about it, what exactly will that entail when it is eventually added in?
I can't talk about it, but what I can tell you is it's going to be, from what we've discussed, it'll be pretty awesome. And I think people will be very, very surprised. But I can't say more than that.
Okay. Now, I guess the other, I'm not sure if you can answer this, but will the, your offshore money, will that ever have any, I guess, use for the game outside of just being a general score feature?
Yep. And it will have expanding usage as time goes on and we continue to add things that we feel like it makes sense to have it, have it be used for. In fact, one is coming up pretty soon, I think. And you'll be able to try that out. But I think we do definitely intend to use the offshore money for certain things.
All right, and now I bet this next question you're not going to be answer either, but could you tell us anything about what's going to be in the next, I guess, sizable update for Payday 2, or that's something you're going to have to plead the fifth on?
Do you mean the DLC, or do you mean...
We could probably do both if you can answer or not answer either.
I mean, all we've said about the DLC is that it's called the Armored Transport DLC, so you can make of that what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the next patch will... will contain a bunch of pretty significant fixes and improvements, I think. And hopefully it will be very soon. But I don't, I kind of want to surprise, I'd rather we surprise everyone with what's in it than reveal it before it's time. Also, I don't know when exactly it's going to hit, so
yeah.
We'll see.
Not a problem. Now, in terms of the DLC, I remember reading somewhere that Overkill, I think, committed to, at the time, 5 DLC packs. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now that Payday 2 is out, it broke even very early, is Overkill thinking about changing that number, adding more DLCs, or is that still something that's up in the air at the moment?
It's really dependent on what makes sense for us. So sure, it's possible. Anything's possible. I know that we're definitely going to do a lot of DLC. That's as far as I'll go. And it'll probably want to be more rather than, almost assuredly, it'll be more, not less.
And of course the DLC, and of course all the updates you guys have planned for adding more features and more variables to the game, right?
Yep.
Cool. One other question that I've heard on the forums and I've heard people asking about is, are you guys planning on either adding new skill trees in the future or even new characters to choose from? Or is that stuff that's a little secret for right now?
I wouldn't say new skill trees. I would say, and as far as new characters, yeah, I could see that's definitely something we've talked about a lot. And I think you might see something like that down the line, but I can't commit to any of that stuff yet.
And here's another question that I've also heard people talk about. One thing that was, I guess, promoted with Payday 2 in the original run was having these massive, like, 6-7 day heists.
Yeah.
Will that be something that will be saved for the DLC content, or will that be, I guess, seen in an earlier update?
I think the 7-day heists are probably going to be DLC.
Okay.
But again, mm-hmm. who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. We're almost done. I just have a few more questions, and then we'll start wrapping things up.
Okay.
Now, we talked about earlier with how you and Overkill's approach to heist design. Now, with future heists, as we've talked about over this whole cast, there's that push and pull between making things stealthy, making things, you know, loud, explosive, and then rewards and punishments between the two. For future heists, do you see Overkill leaning more towards a stealth aspect, an action aspect, or just anywhere in between?
I think we're going to try to service both.
Okay.
That's kind of like what the game is founded on, is we're trying to do both, make sure that both avenues are there. That was always the ambition. Make sure you can do both.
Okay. Now, we just talked about the DLC and the packs that are coming. Does Overkill have any time frame for when the DLC will begin to arrive?
Sorry, what was the last bit?
Does Overkill have any time frame or an idea for when the DLC will start to arrive for Payday 2?
No, okay. I can't say. I'm not sure yet.
I think that will do it. I can't think of any other questions. I guess one last thing that I wanted to say just to you and to Overkill is that, at least from my friends and the group that I play with, we're definitely huge fans of Payday 2.
Cool.
And even with the problems and the nitpicks so far in the game, it's definitely a more solid and ambitious foundation, I think, for supporting it. And we all can't wait to see what you guys do with it. And who knows, in, you know, a few months or a year from now, Payday 2 may be completely different from where it is right now.
Yeah, I think we all feel like we have the whatever skeleton of something amazing, and we're just putting flesh on the bones now.
Okay, and before we end things, do you have any final thoughts or anything you would like to say to the fans who are listening?
Just that we're really happy you guys are enjoying the game, and we're going to do our best and continue doing our best to improve it as much as you and we want it to be improved.
Okay. I guess one last question that I just remember, I want to make sure I get this in so my friends don't yell at me. In terms of the Payday mode, I know there's been some complaints about getting the cash cards or seem, you know, as to like the quote-unquote trash option. Are there any plans on or have any ideas for redoing or enhancing the Payday mode at the end of the heist?
There are many. I think we're going to add an experience card. Also, the cash drops have been minimized as towards the end of the progression, so you get less of them. We're going to probably do other stuff so that your cash actually can be used. I mean, not we probably. We will do stuff. I just can't talk about it yet. Mm-hmm. But it will. People with cash will be happy because they will be able to spend it, but it's going to take a little while until we get that stuff done.
Okay. And, oh yeah, this is my absolute last question. Right now, the level cap is set at 100, I believe.
Yep.
Are there any plans to raise that cap either through DLC or updates, or are you planning on keeping it at that set cap for the indeterminate future?
I think we'll keep it at the cap, but I wouldn't say. I think there are too many things that happen once you start. It's not a completionist game. Mm-hmm. So I don't like the idea that people will be able to get everything. So mm-hmm. I see the cap staying where it is.
Okay. All right. I think we can end it here. David, it was great having you on, and I hope to have you on again in the future. We can talk more about Payday and who knows.
Sure, man. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. And for those of you listening in, if you would like to be a future guest or contributor to Game Wisdom, you can find a link to contacting us under Submissions Wanted on the front page. That will take you to our submissions guidelines for what we're looking for in terms of pieces and our email link for just sending me an email and, you know, seeing what we can do. So with that said, David, it was great having you on.
Great to be here.
Yeah. And thanks for tuning in to the Perceptive Podcast. Have a great weekend. We will talk to you again next week. Take care, everybody.